This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome to Wells Tech episode 396 for Tuesday, June 9th, 2015. My name is Sally Draper. I'm one of your regular co-hosts of Wells Tech. And today I'm manning the broadcast desk alone. My normal co-host, Wells Chief Technology Officer Martin Spriggs, is vacationing this week and unable to join me. We wish him well, lots of R&R, and we will trudge on with Wells Tech 396 with just me. Now, those of you that watch on a regular basis or listen on a regular basis know that I'm known for having a lot of tabs open in my computer browser so that I can share you lots of great internet websites and things with you. And today is no different. I do have many, many interesting resources to share that may have an impact on you as you carry out ministry using technology in both the public and your personal ways. And many of these tabs that I have open on my computer that I'm so eager to share with you come from a lot of my friends this week. So even though I don't have a co-host sitting across from me in this Google Hangout virtual environment that we normally broadcast with, I do have a whole slew of co-hosts that backed me up this week and shared ideas with me to share with you on the show. So I'm titling this show The Latest and Greatest because that's exactly the question I posed to my friends. You know, if a girl's going to do a podcast all by herself, she's got to go somewhere for backup. And I actually headed over to Facebook and asked my Facebook friends for some input. My question to them was to tell me about your latest, greatest technology. Anything goes, websites, apps, computing devices, gadgets, etc. You're welcome to share how it helps you too. And then I added a disclaimer that I'm looking to share these things on Wells Tech this week. And you know, my Facebook buddies did not disappoint. I heard from a whole lot of people and a lot of things, many of which were brand new to me, that are very useful in their day-to-day lives personally and in their public ministry lives as well. So I'm eager to share those with you. I'm going to jump right into the first one, which should be pretty familiar to you guys. As Wells Tech listeners, you have probably heard us talk about this sometime in the past because it's very popular. But I heard from Nikki Steenbach and Kate Toll, who mentioned the YouVersion Bible app as one of their favorite things. Nikki wrote to say it's one of her favorite apps. She likes how easy it is to switch the Bible translation. She likes to read the Holman Christian Standard Bible and compare it to the NIV 2011. And so you can actually even do side by side if you use the Bible.com website to do it in a browser. Or if you use the app, you certainly can easily compare different translations. And we've talked about it in different veins. It actually comes from the YouVersion people, but the name of the app is Bible. And Bible.com is their website where you can find it, or you can search in iTunes or the Google Play Store or whatever. They have versions for Windows Phone, for Palm, all kinds of different versions, even for Kindle Fire. So I think you can find an app for just about any mobile device that's on the market these days. And again, the icon says Holy Bible. The description says Bible, just plain Bible on it. I have it on my home screen here. Yep. So it's super easy to install and make use of. We've even talked about the fact that you can grab sections of it. You can make notes in it and things like that. You can also grab sections of it and create your own informational graphics. So definitely a good one to start off with. Next, I wanted to share a comment from Jason Potoski, and both Nikki and Jason shared a whole bunch of great ideas with me. But one of the sites that Jason pointed to that I definitely wanted to make mention of is Kathy Sharrock's Guide to Everything. So this is education focused. She's a ed tech leader, and she's been compiling guides to all different topics over her lengthy career. And she has a picture here on the website, even from 1995, 20 years ago, when she was on the web with an original computer from that time frame. Anyway, you can look into all different kinds of education technology resources here on our website. For instance, if you click on Chromebooks in schools, she's put together a whole page dedicated to the Google Chromebook and all different things associated with that. Like, what is a Chromebook, different tutorials, websites that have information, classroom practices, blog posts, video overviews, all kinds of training and things. I found some really interesting resources. One name that jumped out to me in the informational Chromebook sites area is Molly Schrader. We've actually interviewed Molly. She was at a Google Summit at Wisconsin Lutheran College a few years ago, and we grabbed an interview for Wells Tech from her at that time. She has tutorials available here. It's kind of interactive and uses ThinkLing to get you to different levels of Chromebook tutorial and all kinds of resources associated with those. So I think the resources on Kathy Sharrock's site are a great starting point if you want to look into any different types of education technology. And she has links to her blogs and other things available here from her site as well. So thanks for that link, Jason and Nikki, both of you for providing a lot of different links. The next commenter on my Facebook post was our friend Cindy Krieger. Cindy is a Wells member in Michigan. She works actually for the state of Michigan on some of their technology initiatives and is always supplying us with good ideas. And I loved her comment. It was that she enjoys playing an app on her phone for license plates. So that's a pretty common game, especially in the summertime when people are traveling, vacationing. They might check off the license plates that they pass and try to get as close to all 50 state license plates sightings as they can. So I thought that was a pretty fun way to do that, to use an app to check off the license plates. The one that she recommended in particular is from a company called Casual Friday Development. But when I searched for that one on my iOS device, it said it wasn't in the store anymore. So I don't know if it got removed from the store for some reason or what, but there were lots of them out there. So those of you that'll be traveling, just search on license plate game, and I bet you'll find a solution there. It'll be fun for you to use as you travel this summer. Next up, we heard from listener Leslie Bergerman. And Leslie sent in, let's see if I can get to the right tab. I told you I had a lot of tabs open, and I opened some extras in anyway. She sent in a comment regarding Google Analytics. She said it allows them to see granular details on every aspect of their website visitors. And she did want to contact us, so she was kind of glad that I asked the question, because what she's found is kind of a spam in Google Analytics. It's called referral spam, and it can basically skew your numbers in Google Analytics with false site visits and counts. It looks like most of it is coming actually from a Russian link shortening service like Bitly called GuardLink or something like that. And there's an article I'll include in the show notes, which Leslie sent to us. And it explains a little bit about that referral spam that might be hijacking and falsely inflating your Google Analytics numbers. So check that out if you're seeing a lot of that kind of stuff. That's Google Analytics. Next up, from my friend Jennifer Praber, who I just ran into here on campus at MLC, she mentioned that she loves Flipgrid. And Flipgrid was brand new to me. It's basically a way to set up and ask a question And then people are allowed to respond via video. And they don't have to create an account or anything. The videos just get added to, and seems pretty simple to set up and run. So I think I'll check this out, Flipgrid, for group video response, I think would be a good way to describe it. And it's not just for the classroom. They say you can use it around any kind of event or conference or whatever it may be. So check out flipgrid.com. Maybe we'll find a use for that here at Wells Tech. All right, next up from my friend Paula Winschittle, something latest and greatest from Paula is Camcard, which is a mobile app, works on your phone to scan, manage, sync, and exchange business cards. And Paula said an app that stores info from a picture of a business card is super handy to her. And I can imagine that's true. Paula is in business. She and her family have a small business operation, and I'm sure come in contact with many different people as they run their business. And so just like our called workers may be in contact with many people as they do evangelism or whatever the circumstances may be, having the ability to easily and quickly digitize business cards seems like it might be a very useful app to have. So if you're in the market for something like that, you might wanna check out Camcard as recommended by Paula Winschittle. Thanks for that, Paula. Next up, just wanna make mention of a very interesting comment from my friend, Pastor Kurt Hagen. And Pastor Hagen said, "I like a good notebook and a fountain pen. Never crashes, instant startup, and won't distract me with the Facebook." So, and by the way, he was adding that comment on Facebook. So apparently he was away from his notebook and pen when he saw my call for latest and greatest technology. You know, paper and pen is technology. I totally would count it in that space. And definitely, I'm a paper and pen kind of girl. You know that from those of you that watch the podcast, I'm constantly jotting down notes and keeping up with things in paper format. So I'm with you, Pastor Hagen, and appreciate very much you kind of reminding us of the fact of the basic technology that we still make use of in many positive ways. All right. I heard from my friend Becky Grunwald. Becky, I met for the first time at Wells Tech Camp, which we had in the fall of 2013 here on the campus of MLC. Becky attended that. She lives in the area, I think maybe near Mankato. And since then, we've been Facebook buddies and keeping up with each other online. And one thing that Becky said was that Evernote is a big help to her. And she does that typically using a JotScript pen, which works with Evernote to digitize your handwriting right away. So Pastor Hagen, maybe if you were interested in a digital version of all of those notes you put in your notebook, you might want to consider a Jot pen. And it allows you to organize notes. Becky says it's like she has a blank sheet of paper at her fingertips whenever she needs it. So never without your notebook and pen, and storing it in a digitized fashion in the cloud via the Evernote website. So great recommendation there, Becky. Thanks for sending that in. Let's see. Next on my list of latest and greatest, I wanted to make mention of a comment from Heidi Jenkin. Heidi said that portable power banks allow you to plug your phone or tablet in on the run. And the good ones will charge a phone two or three times before they run out of juice. And I know that's something we have mentioned in the past here on Wells Tech. And since I don't travel a whole lot, doesn't necessarily jump to mind. But once I start traveling, those power banks are super, super important. So for those of you that are on the road a lot, perhaps just doing a lot of visiting of members and things on a regular basis, or of shut-ins or things like that, having this backup power supply can be really important. We are all fairly connected to our mobile devices these days and fairly used to having them at our fingertips. And when they start to die on us, a little bit of panic could set in. So having a device like this that you can plug into on the fly and get recharged pretty quickly is a very, very good suggestion, Heidi. Thanks for that. And then next up, I heard from my friend Carla Wolf, and Carla made a great point regarding the window snipping tool. That's one of her favorite tools. I actually have it open on my computer right now, and maybe I'll go ahead and share my screen. Let's see, I'll go over to Wells Tech and share my screen. Window snipping tool allows you to make screen captures. And as we were talking about being able to digitize our handwriting, it's also really important to be able to capture digital images of various things. And so with the snipping tool, if I were to turn it on right now, my screen goes kind of white and I have this plus sign icon that I can drag across a portion of my screen and let go, and I get a screen capture. And I'm guessing you guys didn't see any of that if you're watching the video, but I can just tell you that the magic happened here. Let's see if I stopped sharing, and then maybe I can share the screen capture that I took. Let's see, there it is. So there's the screen capture I just grabbed from the Wells Tech website. What Carla's point was, is it's nice to be able to have a tool like this on the fly. So perhaps you sit down at a computer at school or at church, or maybe you sit down at a computer at the public library and do something and want to keep a copy of it. Maybe you want to email yourself a copy of it or store it out in the cloud, whatever it may be, research that you're doing, a receipt that you've received digitally, whatever it may be, using the Windows snipping tool, which is built into all Windows computers, allows you to quickly and easily make a screen capture. It'll also allow you to use some of the features that are there, like draw a circle around something with a pen, or highlight some text on the page that you've taken a screen capture of, whatever you're interested in doing. There's even an eraser tool. If you make a mistake, you can get rid of it. And then you can easily send the snip via email or save it somewhere. And like I said, if you're working on a computer that's not yours, perhaps at the library or whatever it may be, and you go to save it, you can save it out to the cloud, to your Google Drive, for instance, or your Dropbox account. Or you can open up your cloud-based email, like your Gmail account, and attach it and send it to yourself or send it to a recipient of your desire. So lots of options with the snipping tool, and it's just a neat reminder that Carla gave us that we can actually use the tool on the fly if we're kind of in foreign territory. I know for me, I often am traveling, for instance, to my mom's house in Mississippi, and I might not be on my own computer. I might be working on hers and want to take a screen capture of something. And just knowing that that tool's available and can be used in that way is a big help. So thanks for that, Carla. Good idea for those that are listening. All right, just a couple of more to share from my virtual co-host this week. The first one is a website we, I believe, talked about once on the podcast. It's fairly new as far as I'm aware. And my friend Jessica Gurock announced, reminded me of this. She said, for education, I've used Plickers. It's free and a fun way to give quizzes in class or just check info on whatever they, on whether they get the content. My kids actually cheer when I say we have a quiz. So the concept behind Plickers is using like scannable QR codes. So each of your students has a bank of papers, a group of papers that represent an answer to a question. So you may pose your question with A, B, C, D as the options, and people hold up the paper that represents their answer to your question. You use your mobile device to take a picture of that, and it electronically, digitally interprets which students were holding up which papers. So you, in advance of it, you set up your classroom, put names on each student in the layout of their desk, and then it tells you who answered in what way. The site has free images that you can download and print yourself these cards for the students to hold up, or you can order them in a more sturdy format or whatever. But super simple and a super great way to do some in the moment quizzing, get immediate feedback on students' comprehension of things by having them hold up their clicker. So I think that's a really cool idea, Jessica. We hadn't heard of anyone that was actually using it successfully. And so it's cool to hear from you and know that it is something you've made use of and it has worked well and the students seem to really like it. So that's a plus plus if students like taking quizzes. All right, rounding out the list then, we heard from Pastor Paul Jansen, who sent us a link to Bible Screen. And this is a tool I learned that is created by the Logos family of tools out there, that the parent company is Faith Life, and they have this BibleScreen.com website. And so you can stream Bible art straight to your screen. It allows you to do it on a Roku channel, and that's what Pastor Jansen said he's doing. You can stream it on a regular computer. You can stream it to a digital photo frame and to your various mobile devices and Windows 8 machines. So basically, it just plays some background music, which you could mute or leave playing, whatever you want, and then scrolls through, you know, perhaps refreshing every 20 or 30 seconds, different images connected to Bible verses. They're all super high quality, and you don't have to do any work to have them playing on a display screen, for instance, in your church narthex or wherever it may be, in your school entryway or whatever. If you don't have any announcements to post currently, then you could switch to the BibleScreen.com app and have them playing on your device automatically. So really cool tool there. I wasn't aware of that. I'm not sure if we've ever talked about BibleScreen.com on the website. I think it's definitely a latest and greatest kind of discovery for us. So lots of news things there, lots of creative uses for them, and lots of appreciation from me, the solo host of Wells Tech, that you guys backed me up in that way and shared some of your ideas and experience. So thanks to everyone who participated in my informal Facebook poll and for sharing your ideas and things. I definitely walked away better off because of it. So I really appreciate your help. All right, time to move on to our regular segments of Wells Tech. And first up, we'll talk about news in tech. And I think some of the top news in tech this week was around those folks at Apple. They have put on another Worldwide Developer Conference where they announce what's coming in the future with Apple. And the big announcement for this Worldwide Developer Conference was that iOS 9 is going to be unveiled. I think they said this fall. So not right away, but soon there'll be a new version of the Apple mobile operating system. And it's going to be more proactive. It's going to, you know, assume things based on where you are and what you're doing. The examples they give are if you plug in headphones when you're at the gym, your Now Playing track will start playing right away. Or if it detects an upcoming event in your email, it'll automatically add it to your calendar. And apparently, that's some behavior that had existed with Google Now already, and now Apple is integrating it into their operating system. Also mentioned here, the search is going to search within apps. So currently, if you do a search on iOS devices, it brings up the apps that match your search term. But now it's going to go deeper and search within apps. They're going to get public transit on their mapping systems. And they're going to get rid of their newsstand app, which is one of those apps that comes along with the iOS devices that's kind of forced on you. You can't delete it. But they're taking newsstand away and they're creating something called News, which is very Flipboard like. So it's kind of a magazine quality reading space for you. You can subscribe to different topics and it'll mash up whatever your interests are. You can also add your own feeds to your favorite sites, and it'll integrate in this News app that's going to be new in iOS 9. And there's a few other things. I think the biggie for iPad is that there's going to be some multitasking capabilities now. So that maybe you want to watch a movie while you're doing something on your iPad. The screenshot that they provide here shows it running side by side. So you can do two things at once. It says it's much like Windows 8 in that regard. So true multitasking coming to the iPad. That's a pretty big development for the iPad. There were other announcements about Apple's normal operating system for their devices, not their mobile devices. And then also about the Apple Watch getting an upgrade of its operating system. So I found this article on Lifehacker, everything Apple announced in that actually matters. And so it's a good summary of the things that you may be most interested in if you're in the Apple kind of climate with any of your devices. One more mention for news and tech, and this is something I learned from our friends at Animoto. We've talked before on the show about Animoto being a great place to create really interesting videos. And up until this point, teachers could request a free Animoto account and get up to 50 licenses that they could use in their classroom. Well, this fall, Animoto is changing their structure a bit. And now those licenses are going to cost you $1 per student for the school year. And that's a minimum of 50 students in that order. So you'd have to pay $50 at least to have Animoto licensing. And that gives them the ability to create up to 10-minute videos in 50 different styles, and 500 songs are available, and they are downloadable. If you go one step further, pay $2 per student, you get their pro level where you can get longer videos, lots more styles and songs. You get rid of the Animoto branding that's part of it and other features. This Classroom HD though, that the $1 per student, that's what used to be free up until the end of this school year. And now beginning next year, teachers, if you enjoy Animoto, you got to pay $1 per student per year to have that licensing made available to you. So a little bit sad about that, but I understand they got to make a living too, and they are providing a really great service. So Animoto pricing change for education. All right, moving on to the Wells Now series. I wanted to make mention one more time that we're still taking registrations for Wells Tech Conference 2015. That's coming up July 9th through 11th. And we put together a list of the top 10 reasons you may want to consider attending if you haven't signed up yet. Number one is it's going to be a lot of fun. I called it uber fun just in the style of our German Lutheran heritage. We're going to be at a water park hotel. We've got a tour of the Center for Mission Ministry planned. We have lots and lots of Wells Techers to meet up with. So that alone should make it worth the price of admittance. We have tons to give away though. So we're actually giving away a Chromebook Pixel valued at $1,000, three Acer Chromebooks, an Apple TV, Office 365 licensing. And as if that weren't enough, many of our vendors that are attending the event have giveaways of their own. I heard mention of an iPad being given away from a vendor and some other things. So you have a really great chance of winning some really nice shiny tech. So that's a good reason to attend. We've got our own mobile app. We have great keynotes. We have an Ignite session planned where many of the attendees